Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to assess your network.
Part one.
The questions this cast answers are, how do I measure my network? How do I know if my network is good enough or not good enough?
Folks, the reason to come to the M Conference in Dallas, October 9th and 10th, is professional development. As we say in Career Tools, there are two parts to your professional career. Results and relationships. The M Conference will help your results because for those of you who are already managers or are thinking about the next steps, you'll learn pretty quickly that the book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, is a great title to help you understand that the rules are changing. And it's good to learn from people who have been through those rules and triumphed over them. And secondly, relationships. You're going to be around 50 other like-minded people from varying industries and audiences, and we're going to connect you to the speakers too. And additionally, you're going to have more access to me on a regular basis. Hope I see you October 9th and 10th in Dallas, the M Conference.
We've said it many, 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 many times before. Careers are built on results and relationships. So that means 50% of the success of your career is based on the people you know, your network. But the problem is, with your network, how do you know how well you're doing? How do you know whether it's good enough? What is good enough? It's kind of difficult, right? If you said, how healthy are you? You can say, oh, well, I haven't been to the doctor in the past year. Pretty healthy. If you say, how healthy is your network? It's like, I don't know how to measure that. So in this cast, we're going to talk about how to measure it. And then we're going to give you a way of creating a visual really easily so that you can just look at it and know where you need to direct your efforts.
We are going to cover five things. First, create a radar chart. Second, measure the quantity of your network. Third, measure the quality of your relationships. Fourth, set a goal to improve your network. And fifth, review quarterly.
So the first part of the cast is all about establishing a baseline, working out how healthy your network is right now. And then the second part is what to do about it. So in order to know how healthy something is or whether or not our network is sufficient, we need a measure so that we can have a baseline so that we know where we're starting from. And if you have a measure, you can also set a target so that you can see if your efforts are working. So what we're going to use is a radar chart, which I'll explain in a minute. And on it, we're going to plot measures of both the quality and the quantity of your network. And then when we compare the two, we'll be able to see where you need to work, whether it's getting to know more people or getting to know those people better or both. But before we create that chart, we should acknowledge that there are some other measures of networks that's important, right? Or there's some things that we're not measuring here. So the first is the breadth of the people we know. So knowing lots of people in one area is really great. But if you need something from another area where you know no one, it's not so great. So imagine you work in a big manufacturing company with 1,000 people, but they all work on the same site. So you've got 1,000 people that you could know. And maybe you know 50 people in fabrication and 50 people in packing, which is 10% of the company. That's 100 from 1,000 is 10%. That's a lot of people to know. But if you need to talk to someone in sales or purchasing or quality control or accounting or engineering or any of the other departments, even though you know 10% of the people in the company, you don't have much breadth of knowledge. Your network isn't spread out across those departments. And therefore, your network might not be as valuable as the network of someone who knows the same number of people but spread throughout the company. And so we're not going to cover that now because it's a kind of second level thing. We're going to start with quality and quantity and we'll move up to where you want to know people.
Mm-hmm. This is a really important topic. And of course, there's so many different ways to measure and ways to think of it. And there is one more important measure of networks, and that's who you know where. It can be more advantageous, I'm really good at words today, to have a relationship with the SVP of a department than an admin assistant. But in a lot of cases, the admin assistants are actually the gatekeepers, and it's really them that you need to know. So it depends in that case. For now, We're going to focus on keeping this simple because we're going to show you how to make a chart and measure some stuff, which is going to be really great. And there's so many other things here, but we're really going to keep the focus here. And so the first rung on the network ladder is to have relationships with people. The second is to have good relationships with those people. And having relationships with the right people is the third rung. So there's some steps here. And in this cast, we're just going to focus on rungs one and two, if you will. As we've said in our very first guidance about networks, which is build a network, when you're thinking about increasing your reach, don't think only about those you know or believe can be helpful to you. Instead, consider that you should be developing relationships indiscriminately because you never know where you could be helpful. And you never know who could be helpful to you on the flip side of that as well. So we recommend that you do build relationships indiscriminately and then work on quality and quantity of those relationships going forward.
Right. If somebody comes to you and they're not in your area that this tool has said to you that you should be working on, you don't say to them, hey, no, it's all right, I don't want a relationship with you because I already know 10 people in your department. That's just silly. If they're coming to you or if you're at a meeting and there's people, like, develop relationships with those people. But if you have a limited amount of time to build your network, which all of us do because we all have a limited amount of time, then this tool is going to help you find where you might want to concentrate your effort or it's going to help you find where to concentrate your effort. So what we're going to use is a secular chart that's commonly called a radar chart or a spider chart to map your contacts. And we're going to try and describe it in a second for all of you that are running or driving or in a car. But but we're also going to put a document with an image onto the website that anybody can access. You won't need a license. And so if you're able to right now, go to the website, look at the image that's on the podcast page. So if you go to the website, look for the search bar and then type in how to assess your network will come up. You click it and near the bottom of the page, there'll be a download button for the image. So you can see what the image looks like. They say an image is 1,000 words and it is. So I would start there. But for all of those of you who are driving or mowing the lawn or whatever, we're going to try and describe it. So a radar chart is a circular chart, so it looks like a wheel. And it looks like the wheel of a bicycle in that it has a sort of center point and then spokes coming out from the center to meet the rim. On a normal bar chart, you just have two axes, the X and the Y. But if you want to compare multiple things, you need a different kind of chart. So that's what this is. On a radar chart, each of the spokes is an axis, allowing you to measure and compare multiple sets of data at the same time. And so what we're going to use is each of those axes or each of those spokes will represent a dimension of your network, one way to look at it, one way to categorize it. And where we place the dot on the spoke will represent quality and quantity, whichever one we're working with. So nearest the middle is 0, and the outside of the spoke where it meets the wheel, that's the highest number, whatever the highest number on your graph is. So having described the radar chart, what next?
Well, again, guys, there's a picture of this on the website. So we're going to start by creating the chart in Excel. And we're going to tell you how to do that here. If you don't have Excel, looking at the image that we posted will give you something to copy, and you could make the chart with a pencil, which actually might be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Although that's my engineering
nerdy.
You know, that's my nerd card showing. So we'll start a new sheet in Excel, and we'll put quantity in cell B1, and then quality in cell C1. We need to name our dimensions next. So we start in cell A2 and progress down A3, 4, so on and so forth. We're going to put these words in the cell, and these are numbered 1 through 8. Internal, external, up, down, across, industry, skill, and location. So that's how to build this framework for your graph.
We've got kind of a blank table with 8 rows and 2 columns, right?
Yeah, that's how we're building the framework for your chart in Excel. It's so fun to, I don't know that everyone would think it was fun, but it's interesting to describe how to use Excel verbally to people who aren't with you. Yes. So
I hope everybody else is trying and finding it as interesting and difficult as we are. Okay, so now we have our table. What we're going to do is measure the quantity of your network. So to measure the quantity, think about all the people that you know within the organization. So we're looking at the internal right now, which was the first of our categories. We're going to name and describe the other categories in a moment, but we'll start with the internal ones. So think about all the people you know in your organization and give yourself a score of between 1 and 10 that represents the number of people you know versus the number of people you could know. So for example, if you're in a company with 1,000 people and you know 50, that's 5%, right? 5% of 10 is 2, so you give yourself a score of 2. And you don't need to be so mathematically accurate. You can, it doesn't need to be a calculation. If you just feel like, oh, it should be a 3 because I'm sure there's some people I'm not thinking about, that's fine. We're just trying to set a baseline. And as long as you use roughly the same method next time, you'll be fine. So you do the math, Kate.
We can do some examples. Here's a few. If you can think of 15 people and your organization has a total of 50, all of whom you could get to know, you'd give yourself a score of 3 because 15 is roughly 30% of 50. If you know 45, then you'd give yourself a 9 because knowing all of them would be a perfect 10 and 45 is almost there. 9 is almost 10. You asked me to do math, but this is very rough math. So we're going to call it maths from here on out because okay, that seems more accurate. There is no perfect or right number. Whether you're at a 1 or a 10 in this analysis doesn't matter. It's non-judgmental. We are estimating. And again, if you can use the same mental calculation, the same mental deduction system next time, it'll work again when you update this. So we put the number in B2, which is the intersection between quantity and internal, right? Because we put internal at the top of our list in column A, and then quantity is the first thing that we're measuring across the right.
For now, don't use any aids to remember your connections. Don't pull up your email and start adding people whose email you have, or look at your LinkedIn profile, or look at your Facebook profile. Because if you have 500 connections on LinkedIn, it's possible, it's probable that you don't know all those people, that they just said, hey, we want to connect. And you just went, yes, because you're that kind of person. And you like to have connections. But those people aren't the people you'd call on if you needed something, because they're weak ties, as the book says. The people you call on are the people who come to mind. And those are the people we want to measure in this kind of analysis. So just count the people who come to mind when you think of that category.
Manage Your Tools will be in San Diego, California, August 27th and 28th with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences. This will be our final visit for 2019. So if you've got training budget that needs to be used this year, this is your opportunity. Visit manager-tools.com/training to sign you and your entire team up today.
We did the first part, internal quantity. Now we're going to work down the quantity column. We're going to assess each of these dimensions in turn. And for some of the dimensions, the number of people you could know is nearly infinite. For example, the external dimension. You could know all of the people who don't work at your company, theoretically. Of course, that's not really helpful. So we're going to give ourselves a limit. And since we're talking about people who come to mind without external aids, the upper limit isn't going to be a huge number. Maybe 300, 1,000? I don't know. I guess that would be the highest I could think of. Only because I know Facebook locks you out at 5,000. And I don't think you can maintain relationships with that many people. It could be on the low end too, because we're trying to be realistic here. We're thinking about the people we know. So if you can think of less than 10, set 10 as the upper limit. If you know 12, then set 20 as your upper limit, and so on and so forth, right? Thinking through the people that you know. And keep going down that column marking how many people you know in each dimension. Specifically, this is how we define each of those dimensions as we're looking at them. Internal, people who work for the same company as you. External, people who don't work for the same company as you. Up is people who work for the same company as you and who are more senior than you. Down, people who work for the same company as you and who are less senior than you. Across, people who work for the same company as you and are of the same seniority, so your peer level. Industry, people who work in your same industry. Skill, people who have that same skill set as you do. And location, people who are in your same geographical area.
And they're quite simplistic, maybe, descriptions. And many fit people will fall into more than one category. So if you have internal, and then you get down to up, which is people in your company who are more senior than you, some of the people from the internal category will also fall into that up category. The reason we're doing it this way is because most people have never measured their network. So we're doing something easy. There's a lot of ways you could make this more sophisticated. I'm sure there's a bunch of people who are saying, well, that's not good math, Wendy, which is true. This is not scientific. But most people have never measured their network, and this is a way to do it that's quite simple. And later, if you want to, you can refine it. You can make your own dimensions. You can make your own descriptions of the dimensions we have. But just to start with, this is a good way to start. And one of the things you might want to do is just write down the names of the people you're thinking of so that next month, you know, you don't have to go through all that mental thing all over again and think, oh, was the third person I knew Barbara or did I not know her then? And so just write down their names, jot them down.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to go back to our document. We're going to select all the cells from A1 to C9 and choose insert from the menu. Choose chart. And then scroll down to radar. And once you do, you should have a chart with a series of like concentric gray octagons with the dimension names at each corner on the outside octagon. Excel doesn't necessarily draw in the axes, the kind of bike spokes that we were referring to. And that's okay because they run from the center to the corner where the word is located. So each point where the line crosses, one of those axes is the value, and the values you put into the quantity column will have been joined together.
So there'll be a blue line or a yellow line or something that makes a shape on top of that series of octagons.
Mm-hmm. Like the, I don't know what they were called, but the little, people used to put little things on their bike spokes, right?
Oh, and they would make a pattern. Like a ribbon or something. Yeah.
Right. I think we had little beads kind of that slid up and down. And so those would make like a star shape, which is going to look a little bit like your graph. The shape's not going to be perfect. It may be a circle. It could be like a wonky star. It could be octagonal. The shape, though, doesn't matter. Where the points fall on the chart is what matters, right? Those actual data points. And when you think about it, when you're looking at it visually, the closer to the center a point lies, the fewer people you know.
Because the center was zero.
Right. Those are the areas that you need to work on. And we'll get to that in a minute. So
the second part of that. So now we've assessed the quantity. But we all know that quantity and quality are two different things, especially when you're eating steak and especially in relationships. So it's great to have good quantity, but we need to make sure that we have good quality too. So now we're going to assess the quality of your relationships. And it's really difficult to measure the quality of a relationship with someone. So we're going to use a proxy, and the proxy is meaningful interactions. So a proxy means something that you use to replace something, in this case, that you can't measure. So you go back to your Excel sheet with the data, and then starting in C2, which is your second column, it's the third column, but it's the second column of your table, and then fill in the cells, just like we did for quantity, starting at the top with internal and going downwards, putting a score between 1 and 10 in each cell. And this number represents, of the people you know, how many of them have you had a meaningful interaction with in the last month.
Wow. You have to think about this, right?
Yeah.
If you had a 10 in the quantity column and you had meaningful interactions with 7 of those people, you can put 7 in the quality column. The quality number has to be less than or equal to the total in the quantity column.
Because you can't have a quality relationship with someone you haven't counted as having a relationship with.
Exactly. Also, if there's 50 people in your company and you know all 50, you gave yourself a quantity score of 10 total, right? Because it's scaled. If you had meaningful interactions with 30 of them, you'd give yourself a quality score of 6, because 6 is representative of just over half of 10, and 30 is just over half of 50. Maths.
Yeah, because maths, again. You can define meaningful yourself, but we would suggest an email exchange where there was at least one email sent and replied to, a text exchange where there was one sent and one replied to, a face-to-face meeting, or a phone call where there was less than 3 other people on the call. And that's a pretty low bar, but that's okay too, because as we've said a number of times, this is the easy version, right? We're starting everybody off on the lowest level, and that's okay because that's where we all start. And if you've never thought about this stuff before, you need a low bar because you're never going to cross any high ones. So an email sent and replied to, you know, if you sent something out and somebody replied done or thanks or whatever, it's not really meaningful. But for now, we're going to call that meaningful because we haven't got anything better right now. So we'll just start easy.
This is one of those places where I think a lot about the amount of communication we do versus the communication that's really helpful. And it's also one of those places where I start to think about how many people you know, and the fact that most of us, I think, really want our interactions to be organic. And while that's really nice, when you have only organic interactions with your network, unfortunately, it could lead to places where some parts of your network are struggling and you don't know it, right? It's great that things are organic. It's also true that after the organic stuff starts, you have to be deliberate in order for this stuff to work in your favor and for it to help your network actually grow and be successful.
It's like everything. If you're not putting any effort into it, if you're not concentrating on it, it doesn't grow. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's just, you know, it's the same for everything. If we, one of the things that scientists say is if you count a thing, you improve it automatically. So if you write your weight down every day, you will automatically improve your diet. I don't know how that works. That's like a psychology thing. But there's something, you could be in your own head doing nothing different, but writing it down causes this interaction that you don't know about. The thing with our network is we're never writing down how much we weigh. We are just saying, oh, well, I've got a network. You know, when this person emails me or when this person says, do you want to go out for coffee? I say yes. When I go to this city, I have lunch with this person, but I don't talk to them in between. We're doing what you called organic, right? We're just going through life. And of course, nothing improves unless you start recording it, measuring it. And the thing about the diet is the same thing about this. If you count your people, if you count the quality and the quantity of your relationships, and you don't listen to the second part of this cast, which is about what to do next, what to do if you find yourself in certain circumstances, to some extent, you don't need that second part, because automatically writing this stuff down and knowing where you are will cause you to do things differently without you even knowing about it. Now, if you want to go about it in a, if you want to go about it in an organized way, in a way that means that your efforts are focused in the places which will give you the most value, then you do have to listen to the second part of this cast. But to some extent, you know, you could just do this first part, and just measuring changes things, which I call the Hawthorne effect, and Mark calls something else.
I think the other thing to keep in mind is that entropy is working against you in this case, especially with relationships. Mm-hmm. So it's good that we're looking at it. And if you're not doing anything, if your relationships came from organic behaviors and organic situations, then it's probably a good thing to keep in mind that if ignored, entropy means that those relationships will deteriorate.
Yeah, like when somebody leaves the company and you're like, we've been best mates, we've been sat next to each other, we've been against the man all this time that you've been working here, and then somebody leaves and like you realize 3 months has gone by and you've never talked to them again.
Yep, entropy. Your relationships are deteriorating. Don't panic, guys. We're going to help. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, we're going to help. In part two. That's it for this week. We'll carry on with this topic next week.